This is a Dreamcast disc and is for use only on a Dreamcast unit. Playing this disc on a hi-fi or other audio equipment can cause serious damage to its speakers.
Dreamcast, up to 6 billion players.
Welcome back to the Stage of History.
Why don't we play together?
Hey, it's time to make some crazy money. Are you ready? Here we go!
Please stop this disc now.
Hello and welcome to the first of 2016's episodes of the Dreamcast Junkyard Dream Pod. We hope you had a very nice Christmas and a new year. My name is Tom and I'm joined, as ever, by Aaron.
Hello.
And Caleb.
Hello.
And also Gaz.
Good evening.
We don't have a Rob tonight because he's an actual journalist and he's doing actual real world life things.
Deadlines and everything.
Deadlines.
Yeah, deadlines and everything. But I trust you gentlemen all had a very nice Christmas and New Year.
It was okay, yeah.
Yeah. Caleb, yourself?
Yeah, I had a New Year. I cleaned out my apartment. My God, that hellhole that was downstairs. I found over 24 full cans of various water, diet soda, and seltzer. So it's like a game of Russian roulette to see which ones have gone bad.
Can I ask what seltzer is?
It's like a fizzy water, isn't it?
Yeah, it's basically naturally flavored, just, you know, carbonated water.
Oh, okay. Didn't know what that is.
So it's basically soda water.
I think they just call it fizzy water.
Soda water, isn't it?
What's fizzy water? Are we from Willy Wonka or something? Are we about to take a tour of a factory where they make fizzy water?
Of course.
Because I'm from America, and it's called seltzer, damn it.
Yeah, but everything is quite twee here, so it's called fizzy water.
Yes.
It's fizzy water, exactly. Yeah.
Right, guys, let's begin as we always do, and let's discuss, you know, what we've been playing, if we've bought anything. I'm going to come to you first. You've not been on the podcast for a while, so I'm going to ask you.
No.
You must have played something on the Dreamcast, bought something, or, you know, anything current gen?
I've been playing a lot of current gen, but I've also been playing a bit of Crazy Taxi.
Excellent.
Always a good one.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the games I actually kept hold of because it's a classic.
Yeah.
It really is. Current gen, I haven't been playing Destiny. I bought Fallout 4.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much taken over my life. I'm having a break for that. And I've been playing a bit of Call of Duty.
Have you had a break from Fallout 4 to come and do this?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Still playing it right this moment. He's just got it on mute.
Yeah, no, not really. I've given it a break from Fallout because it's one of them games, because it's a single player game, you can pick it up whenever you want. So
yeah.
I don't tend to play it. But I give it a good go for the first like couple of weeks, and now I'm on a break for that. So.
Okay. Cool. Anything else?
No.
Okay.
No.
How about you, Caleb? What have you been up to?
I've just been messing around. If you go on YouTube, you can see me just getting destroyed. Giant Gram 2000. My goodness. Yeah, that game's super fun, but it's really hard. Like, I played the first match, and, like, you know, I always think, oh, it's always fake when the YouTubers start yelling. But no, I was super surprised how quickly the computer decided this is not going to be a good match. Got to end it right now.
So I was very entertained by that video you put up on the Junkyard main site. I thought it was brilliant.
Stan the Lariat Hansen, who his lariat was so, like, devastating because the dude was practically blind and, like, didn't wear his glasses to the ring. So when he hit people, he would hit them super hard because he couldn't tell where they were. So he would, every time he would do it, he would just put a little extra English on it to make sure it hit him.
How do you feel it compares to, like, other wrestling games like WWF Royal Rumble and stuff like that? I think it's better, to be honest.
It's way better than anything on the Dreamcast that was released in the US anyways.
Yeah, totally.
Royal Rumble and the, you know, it's just, no, it's a lot better than that. It's got the interesting, like, rock, paper, scissors system of, you know, countering moves and whatnot. So it's very interesting, and it's
doesn't
super
it
fun.
Also have like virtual fighter characters in it, like Jeffrey and Wolf and that.
Yeah, I didn't download the little VMU thing that would let you unlock everything, and because the game's in Japanese, I don't know quite how I would unlock everything. So there might be. There's a lot of empty spaces.
It might have been the first one rather than the 2000 one. I'm not entirely sure.
There's a lot of people on there. Pretty much any giant white dude who went over to Japan to wrestle is on in that game, pretty much.
I still think it's probably the best looking of all the wrestling games as well on the Dreamcast. It looks amazing. You know, the intros especially are really, really impressive.
I'll have to check
and
where that
the,
one out.
You throw the they like ribbons into the ring, you know, when you're like warming up and like giving each other grief about, you know, before you start the actual match. But yeah, I thought it was really cool.
The stare down.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else, Caleb?
Dead Rising 3 was on sale on Steam, so I've been messing around with that a little bit.
All right.
Yeah, very good game.
Yeah, so I've also been playing D&D 5th Edition. I had a bunch of people over to my house after I cleaned it up. And
oh, nice.
That's super fun. Anybody who likes the old school stuff, anybody who likes the Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay 2nd Edition, they actually included a lot of stuff. It's not as bad as 4th Edition was. 5th Edition's pretty fun.
Last but not least, what about yourself, Aaron?
Not so much Dreamcast for me the last couple of weeks, but obviously there's been like the Steam sale, so I ended up grabbing a load of cheap games on there. The game I've been playing the most is actually one I had since my birthday, a month or so ago. This game called One Finger Death Punch, which just uses like two buttons to like, it's like a kung fu game and it's like all stickmen things. It looks like an old Newgrounds animation, but like it is literally just left and right as they come at you. It's kind of like a rhythm game, like they all go towards the center of the screen and you have to like fend them all off. It's extremely fun, and there seems to be like endless amount of levels in it and a survival mode that I still ain't very good at. But I think the other game that I picked up in the sale, it was only like £1.33, but I think it was only £2 anyway, full price. It's this game called Downwell, which someone told me is...
Oh, I've heard of this.
I've been, people told me it was similar to Spelunky, so I thought, well, anything similar to Spelunky, I'm going to give a go. So basically, it's like a roguelike, but you basically go down a well, and it's like a never-ending drop. And you've got like gun boots, kind of like Bayonetta in a way. And you can jump on enemies or you can shoot them with your boot guns. And the guns also help you sort of like stay aloft for a little while. And obviously when you beat each level, you get perks and all that kind of stuff. And it's been really fun so far. I've put a couple hours in. And...
Now, what game was that again? It was Spelunky or Spelunker?
Spelunky.
Yeah, because there's both of them, which are they're a little bit different.
Yeah, Spelunker's like the old school one. And...
Yeah, Spelunky is the it's kind of risk reward stuff. Like there's shops, and you can attempt to kill the shopkeeper, but it's really hard.
It's probably one of my all time favorite games in the last few years. Spelunky.
Is Downwell procedurally generated? Is it just like infinite levels and things? Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah, in a way, I'm not sure if it's infinite. I think there are set like worlds, but they're randomly generated every time. And of course, you've only got like 4 health, and then you just lose everything when you die. But you can unlock like different color palettes for the game as well. And it's got like a Game Boy palette where it's like that kind of vague, like green look to it. You can even get like a Virtual Boy skin, so it's just like red and black. Like red.
Oh yeah, get a headache.
Yeah, clearly it's mostly black with red, not red background with black like sprites.
A headache and a nosebleed.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's mainly what I've been playing, a bunch of Steam stuff, really.
Okay, so not really much on the Dreamcast then, no?
Sega-wise, I played a little bit of Christmas Nights because Christmas, but yeah.
It's got to be done on it, yeah. Well, I'm about to probably take over again because I've been playing quite a bit on the old Dreamcast. Well, not a lot on the Dreamcast, on the other consoles, though. On the Dreamcast, I've been playing The Ring, Terror's Realm. Don't know if you saw the article I wrote a couple of days ago about how horrendous it is. I've never actually played it before, and I had no knowledge, no prior knowledge about what this game was going to be like. And I knew it was connected to the Ring series in some way, but I was kind of intrigued in that way. And then when it turned into just a really bad survival horror game with like taking cues from Resident Evil in every way possible, but in a bad way.
Yeah, I mean, usually that would be a good template to build from, but wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you're a fan of the Resident Evil series, I know that much, Gaz, but if you take everything that's bad about Resident Evil, amplify it like by about 10, and then put them back into a game, it's just like, oh my God. You know how in Resident Evil you've got like an ambient background with just like footprints on hardwood floors, and you know you can hear the odd like, you know, wind or the the moaning of a distant zombie, something like that sets the mood. Well, in the Ring, in the Ring Terror as well, you've just got this horrendous like supermarket music playing constantly, and it's like like in Blue's Thing away, it's like kind of funny in a cheap way. It's just pierces your skull.
You're just stuck in an elevator the whole game.
Yeah, it's horrendous. Honestly, go on YouTube and look at some footage of it and watch it for more than about 30 seconds.
I've never actually looked at anything of it. I've just seen screenshots. and read your article. That's pretty much all I know about it.
Yeah, well, I was in the same boat, and I, to be honest, I wish I was still in the same boat you are, but... Yeah, so that was what I played on the Dreamcast. I also played a game called... It's called Real Sound, Winds of Regret. And basically, this is one that I don't think a lot of people have actually heard of, but it was a game developed by Kenji Ino.
Mm, yeah, the D2 guy.
That's him, yeah. Yeah. It was a game, it was originally on the Sega Saturn, it was a game for the blind.
Mm.
And basically, it's like I was going to say a visual novel, but without the visual part. So it's an audio novel, and it's, you know, there's no graphics. It's just a black screen with audio, whatever the story is, because it's all in Japanese, I can't really play it. But it's a really fascinating concept, and... yeah, it's a nice package as well. You get a packet of seeds to grow your own plant for some reason.
Why not?
Exactly. One of the instruction cards, it doesn't come with a booklet. It comes with like a selection of cards. One of them is all written in Braille, which I thought was a nice touch as well. Yeah,
that's awesome.
It's a really interesting and intriguing story on how he actually got to make this game, because originally it came out for the Saturn. And then
I think they both came out around the same time as well, if I remember rightly. Oh, yeah, I think they might have been like a dual release. I'm not entirely sure, but...
Interesting.
I'd have to double check that.
But... I think the most interesting part of this actual package is that you get a demo of D2 with it, and it's got levels on it and demo sections that are not on any of the other demos that were released at the time. So it's not the sections of the game that are on this demo are not featured on the discs that came with the Japanese Dreamcast magazine or in any of the other demos that I've seen.
An exclusive demo. Yeah,
totally exclusive to this purchase. So that's what I've been playing on the Dreamcast. Brace yourselves, because it's quite a list, this. I've been playing other stuff. Resident Evil, guys, you'll like this, on the GameCube, you know, the remake. Tourist Trophy on the PS2, which is a motorcycle game using the Gran Turismo engine.
Oh.
Yeah, it does... I don't like it.
The
Tourist Trophy, yeah. I mean, I've never really been a big fan of it. I love my driving games, but it doesn't seem to work with the bikes. I don't know, it might just be me. I mean, the best bike I've seen is the ones that you get in Project Gotham Racing. They handle really well, and they're really well, but the bike game on its own, nah, I've never really been into them.
Tourist Trophy is the only game I've seen where if you actually slow right down, if you slow right down and then like try and turn, you'll just like literally fall off your bike, which is quite funny. I also like the Drive Club bikes, you know, the DLC for Drive Club.
Mm-hmm. That's really good.
I mean, if it's a game when it's got cars and bikes, it works well, like I said, with PGR.
Mm.
But I mean, a bike game on its own, I don't see the point, because usually they don't handle too well.
I would have thought if it was a bike game on its own, they would have put more work into making the bikes better, because I remember in Burnout Paradise they did DLC for bikes and it wasn't brilliant.
Yeah,
it wasn't great.
I don't think anyone's really nailed down a really super bike game.
Except Super Hang On.
I was going to say, guys, have you not played Hang On 95?
No.
On the Saturn.
I didn't mean that one. I meant the original.
Apart from that, I played a Split Second on the 360, which I absolutely love.
It's quality, isn't it?
So good, yeah.
Now that is a driving game.
Yeah, so good. Also, you're probably going to hate me, FIFA 16 on the PS4, King of Fighters 95 on the Neo Geo CD.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a mix, this, actually, because I've just been jumping in and out of all different things throughout throughout the Christmas period. Blue Lightning on the Jaguar CD, Motorstorm Arctic Edge on the PS Vita, which is a PSP game.
Oh, I've played it on the PSP. Yeah, I was just going to say, I've played it on the PSP.
I have Blue Lightning for my Atari Lynx.
Yes, it's a continuation of the Lynx series. It's
We'll finally be able to get the full story.
If you can get work in Jaguar CD.
Happily, mine works just fine. So
now, officially, I think you're the only one who has one that works in the UK, right? I think yours is the only one.
Yeah, unconfirmed thoughts, possibly.
I think the rest of them have been now converted to toilet seats.
Interestingly, my mum gave me a voucher for iTunes for Christmas. And so I've been downloading different apps onto my like different iOS devices, and the different games I got were AG Drive, which is like a Wipeout clone, which is really good. One called Device 6, which is like an interactive novel, which again is really cool. And the last one is Tomb Raider Go.
Oh,
things about that.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, it's a bit like a board game. You know what I mean? But it's actually quite fun. So yeah, that's my played over the Christmas period. Quite a mix. There's probably a couple of other things as well, which I've forgotten.
Did anybody get any gaming goodies for Christmas?
The only thing I got was a Dreamcast cup, off my girlfriend.
Yeah, we saw that.
Yeah, so we put up on the Dreamcast Junkyard Facebook group. So, anybody else?
I got a voucher from my mother for a game, and I bought the Back to the Future game for the Xbox One.
Nice.
The Telltale game. Really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much it, really. I bought myself some games, but I don't think they count, do they?
Not me by myself, no.
No.
Anybody else? Anything?
Yeah, I got a Dreamcast notebook.
Oh yeah, you saw that.
Oh yeah, I got one as well. I bought it myself.
Yeah, I ended up buying the Mega Drive and Saturn ones afterwards as well. Mm. And I also got a Kirby and the Rainbow paintbrush for the Wii U, and I got some Amiibos.
Caleb, yourself?
No, I didn't really get anything much.
Oh, that's a bit. That's a bit heartbreaking. Okay.
I got a steel drinking cup with a demonic looking buffalo on it. And I got a $60 gift card for Walmart, which kind of made me angry because, like, any other place.
You can buy a shotgun in Walmart, can't you?
$60.
For $60. Yeah. You can go towards one.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, guys, let's move on to our first topic of discussion. I believe this is something you wanted to speak about, Caleb. I know you want to keep it brief.
Yes.
You have the floor.
Okay. So, when the Project Dream thing came out, I noticed there was a lot of shady stuff that was happening, right? There was a lot of stuff, like, and I'm talking about if you just go look on, like, one video that covered this topic, say, for example, Pat the NAS Punk dude, his video on it where he had his clip from the podcast, there are literally dozens and dozens of comments that are just, like, misinformation, lies, and this was all over the place, and this wasn't just me. So after it came out that apparently the guys in Project Dream, some random dude apparently had taken upon himself to become the official spokesperson, and he had said he was one of the founders of the project. He said he was this and that. He said he was the official media relations person.
This is Patrick Lawson.
Yes. It's the person whose name supposedly is Lawson. He's known as a bunch of other things. All the YouTube accounts that they mentioned were the ones that were on the YouTube things that I saw. And a lot of other people in comments were saying that, he had actually, like, messaged them and, like, was talking to them and, like, lying to a lot of people. And, you know, in this day and age of computer technology and social media, yeah, it probably was just this one guy who was doing that stuff. It seems a little bit unbelievable that one person, but unfortunately, if you have marketing tools like Hootsuite, or I think more likely if you just have a lot of time on your hands, yes, it could just be one person who's doing this huge, like, media blitz.
Mm.
And everybody talked to this guy. Everybody talked to this dude, including some of the quote-unquote bigger gaming media sites. And now you're wondering, it's like, well, that's super weird if this dude didn't really have anything to do with Project Dream and wasn't actually, like, supposed to be officially talking about anything. Why did all the major gaming sites, like, talk to him? And it's like, you know, that wouldn't happen into another field, you know?
Hmm.
And that's something that really just makes me sad. It's like, if there was like an independent movie thing and they were going to try to bring back some sort of property that hadn't been around for a while, there's no way that just some random dude could get in there and talk to, like, a major media site that deals with movies.
Yeah, yeah,
that's true. Yeah,
they would verify that he was actually involved with it. So in this case, I will take the other people that are involved in Project Dream has said this guy doesn't really speak for them, and it's as weird as that sounds, I'm just gonna take their side on this and say yes, this guy probably doesn't speak to them, and this is more of an indicator of how bad video game press is, even though the video games are a bigger industry than movies and whatnot.
True. Yeah,
our press isn't up to snuff as everybody else, because this wouldn't happen in any other media.
No, nobody
could start an independent project and then just some random person could literally be the media person for everybody, and everybody would talk to this one person. This person would be everywhere, and everybody would be assuming he was the dude in charge of
fact-checking.
So with that, it's fine. However, it's not just that. There's a lot of other stuff that bothers me about this. They have been very, you know, their website is set up to look like it's official Sega stuff. And you could say, yeah, that's a fan sites thing. Okay, but, like, one of the first things that hits you, the last time I checked, was just Dreamcast 2 trademarked. Do you see how crazy that is? Like, you can't really do that.
But it was like with the wrong font as well.
Yes.
But I mean, we had the Dreamcast collector's guide removed from sale because it had, you know, a picture of a Dreamcast on the front. So
mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think the font was too close to the font that they use. So they're outright saying Dreamcast 2 trademark on their website for this project. And that all the stuff that has been talked about the project was talking about Sega and properties that Sega may or may not have control of. We all know that when Sega went into the software market, there was a lot of deals being made.
Mm.
And I know some of the people who are still involved with Project Dream were talking about properties. It's like, oh, this would be really awesome if we had a new game of this or a rehash of this. It's like Sega already released those games. For example, let's just pull up one that they specifically said, Skies of Arcadia. Sega already released that on a Nintendo console.
GameCube. Yeah. On the GameCube.
Yeah. So do you think Nintendo would do that without, like, you know, having some sort of thing where there's deals involved with these IPs, intellectual properties that Sega has let other people use. So not all of them are going to just be free for Sega to say, okay, well, we're going to put it on this thing as well.
It really depends how
this
it
is
was
all
done.
Legality. This is all legality stuff.
Skies of Arcadia on the GameCube was just published by Sega. I don't think Nintendo, other than, you know, allowing it on the GameCube, Nintendo didn't have any.
Well, that's the thing. I think at that point, Sega were purely just into the software market rather than the hardware. So
at that time, they weren't actually publishing their games, were they? In a lot of cases, Infogrames were publishing quite a few of their games on other systems at one point, and Acclaim were like publishing like Crazy Taxi and stuff.
I think without getting too far off the main point that Caleb's trying to make, just going back to what you were saying earlier about this Patrick Lawson person, I did speak to Bertie Wiseman, who is like the main guy who's like basically who came up with this entire project. And I've spoken to him on Facebook, and he seems like a really reasonable, normal guy. And he explained, you know, that is what happened. And he pointed me to different articles that he'd written for the Shenmue 500K website. And, you know, basically saying we didn't mean for it to go like this. This guy basically assumed the role of
sort of shoehorned his way in,
of our public spokesman. And he's gone and spoke to all these different media outlets. And now it's like, everyone's like coming at us and going, we're like, what? So it's definitely been blown out of all proportion.
Well, here's the thing. The guys that are pretty left, weird. Though, they are the ones saying, okay, so we're going to try to talk to Sega about this. And you could all look up their quotes from them saying this. This is not Patrick Lawson. They're saying, we're going to try to talk to Sega about this. If that doesn't work out, we're going to just try to do this on our own. But that will require crowdfunding.
Hmm.
That's like really...
If they were wording it as like a Dreamcast-inspired system, as opposed to saying, oh, it's a Dreamcast 2, then...
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing that bothers me. They're bringing in...
If it's funded and it hasn't got Sega's backing, they can't call it the Dreamcast anyway.
No, exactly. but what they're doing is they're using the Dreamcast 2, I mean, on their main website, and they're using Sega properties to promote this idea.
Yeah.
And then when Sega says no, they're going to just do something that's going to have to be a different notion than what they've been putting forth. And it's just, I don't see how they can legally release a console that can play Sega games and have them in HD. It's just, you can't do that. Sega is not probably, if Sega's not going to work with you on it, they're not going to let them do it.
Like, if Sega doesn't, which they will, they won't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
What exactly do they expect to be able to make? I don't really understand what...
From what they've said, and this, again, this is not from Lawson, this is from the two people that are involved still with Project Dream. They said they just are going to still crowdfund their idea. Unfortunately, the only ideas that they put forth would require Sega to be totally on board for it to happen. And even then, you know, it's just, so it's just, that's my only thing. It's like, I mean, you know, I don't like how crowdfunding was brought up really early. And like, they keep on repeating it, but then people say, well, they're not asking for money.
Yeah, they will.
But
they will
be. They've been clearly saying they will ask for money later down the line.
Not doing this for their
own
health.
And it's, so that's... So, I mean, it's just, it's totally cool if they can get some more people involved that have actually been involved in video game hardware or software.
Maybe they should fly to China and try and get the trademark for Dreamcast 2.
Yes. Oh, that'd be good, yeah.
Yes. That might be a bit more plausible.
Yeah, no, see, I'd be fine with them talking about fundraising if there was anybody involved with their project that was partnered up with them that had actually anything to do with video game hardware or software.
Despite the fact that Dreamcast had Dreamcast official parts in it.
yeah. As a fan thing, like that's cool and all, but it's just like, don't say you're going to ask for money and then say, yeah, it's weird. It's like, I can't say, oh, I want to start the PlayStation 5 and it's going to play all the PlayStation games that you love. And I'm going to name all these PlayStation games that everybody loves. And I'm going to say, well, Sony will probably say no, but you can still fund my project. Well, what's the project then? Because you don't have any of the IP or you don't have any of the permissions to do anything that you've been talking about. Like, I can't produce a console that's going to play PlayStation games. I can't produce hardware that would be specifically functionized to play PlayStation. I can't mass produce that and fund a project like that. It wouldn't be legal. But, like, that's what.
I think on that bombshell, we should kind of maybe put this section to bed slightly, just because, you know, I know a lot of people listen to this podcast who are quite pro Project Dream, and I don't want to kind of cause some kind of, like, flame war.
Yeah, we're not trying to alienate you people. We just, everyone has an opinion.
Yeah, and again, this is not Tom's. Tom, it's not Tom, it's not Gaga Man, it's not Gaz. This is just Caleb. This is me. This is what I'm saying. So I'm a curmudgeon when it comes to this stuff, and it's just, honestly, I'd feel a lot better if, like, they didn't have the Dreamcast 2 trademark on their website. Like, that, it's just, you can't do that. Do you realize how weird that is to say Dreamcast 2 trademark? Like, it's just, it's, you don't have the trademark for the Dreamcast 2. Like, don't put it on your website like you do. And the rest of the stuff, it's fine to say that's just fan stuff, but... Yeah, it's just, it's, you know.
Take a breather, Caleb. Take a breather.
Yeah, no. And that's all I'll say on the issue. But again, this is not the Dreamcast Junkyard saying this. This is just me saying this because, you know, I'm a very negative person who likes to be negative about stuff like this.
Well, we should move on to some hardware that is actually real. And that is the Dreamcon version 3. Now, I was contacted this last weekend by the creator of the Dreamcon, a guy called Chris, who lives in Greece, and he has come up with a new revision of the Dreamcon, and as well as having a couple of new hardware features, such as a white button, where there was usually a black button. That's the most minimal design change, by the way. It's also got one LED, which is dual purpose, rather than having the two for charging and battery running out and that kind of thing. The biggest new addition to the Dreamcon that he's actually implemented is that now you are able to connect your Dreamcon via Bluetooth to your PC and then browse the VMUs. And
You
can take you know, files that you've downloaded from the internet and put them onto the Dreamcon and vice versa, you know, and you can, using a bespoke piece of software that he's created himself, he's written this himself, as well as the VMU browser by Spude.
Yeah. See, the way I have to do it, I literally have to go with the VMU disk.
Same.
Burn a disk and then put that in my Dreamcast to upload, save files and whatnot. You know, that would be so convenient to be able to do
that. Yeah, it's going to cut a big chunk of time, isn't it, out of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, there's certain games that I played recently and there's things that I'll never unlock, such as the MSR, you know, the free roam mode in Metropolis Street Racer, and I had to use VMU tool to get a save off the internet, burn a disc, put it into my you know, into my Dreamcast, then down, you know, using VMU tool onto the VMU and going through that way. But this way, you can literally just connect your Dreamcon to your PC and just drag and drop files, which I think is brilliant. It's a really really interesting and cool feature. So that is that will be coming out. Well, imminently, really. I'm waiting for a bit more information off him so I can put a proper article up on the Dreamcast Junkyard.
Do you know if there's a way to connect? Because you're saying they connect to your PC now. Is there a way to actually use them as a controller on your PC as well? Or
not that I know of, not yet, because the actual the Dreamcon uses the receiver from the Dreamcast. So there'd have to be a way of putting that into a PC.
I get you. Right,
it's totally within his rights to do this, but he's kind of like a bit hush hush about how it actually works, because there's a guy on the Facebook group who is also quite into this kind of like modding, and he wants to know how he's done it. And Chris specifically asked me not to open the don't open the Dreamcon, don't take it apart, don't try and do anything. So I've completely respected his wishes. It's his kind of baby, you know. I'm totally fine with that.
And again, you know, personally, with a product like this that actually exists and there's hardware that I've seen people use, this is a product I would support.
Yeah. Mm.
Because they're, you know, this is obviously a custom hardware project where it's something that just exists. And you know.
I use mine. That's the only controller I use, my Dreamcon.
Oh, you've been using it on the regular? How many hours do you think you've put into it so far?
It's the only controller I use on my Dreamcast. Constantly, I've got the charger like plugged in my little wall socket, and I just plug it in, and then.
How good's the charge on it?
Lasts for ages. Hours and hours and hours. Yeah, I mean, you can tell when the battery's running down when the screen on the VMU starts to go quite faint. It does have a battery meter built in. So you hold down both the triggers and press start, and it comes up with a battery meter on the screen. But you can kind of tell.
Wow.
Yeah, but you...
That's brilliant.
You have the option to just use internal memory, right?
Yeah, you can do, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm assuming if you don't have a VMU plugged in, it would even have longer battery life.
Very true, yeah. Yeah, and likewise, if you put if you use a Rumble Pack, then it depletes the battery even quicker. But it's a brilliant piece of kit. I mean, I've got the version 2, so version 3 will obviously be slightly improved. And he says, I'm not entirely sure if he's put another battery in it, a different battery, but the one that's in there now is fine. And I've heard nothing but good reports from people who have seen my review and then gone and bought one off the back of that. So it's all good.
How does it work with that? Does he ask people or recommend people to send him official controllers to mod, or does he just buy them up and mod them himself?
Couldn't tell you, to be honest. I mean, they're all official controllers, but he does. If you send him, like, I know one guy sent a black Sega Sports one to him to mod him.
Okay.
For him to mod, and then he sent that one back to the guy. So
that's cool.
Yeah, if you want to send your own like clear one or you know whatever design it is, then
he'll
do it.
Dreamcon version 3 Hello Kitty edition.
Yeah,
all your dreams have come true. Yeah, so that's the Dreamcon version 3. Look out for that. Should be putting an article up on the Dreamcast Junkyard in the next week or so. So that should be coming soon.
Okay.
Wasn't there another thing happening? I know going back to the Project Dream and the Dreamcast 2, but wasn't there like Dreamcast Deluxe?
That's not really been covered yet. That's really just a work in progress.
Yeah, there's two guys, isn't it?
Well, it's myself and like four other guys. It's I don't mind talking about
it. That's fine.
I don't mind talking about it. It's basically taking a standard Dreamcast and modding it to within an inch of its life. So it's got the HD board in it, so it outputs HD, full HD signal.
Okay.
It'll have an SD card reader built into it. It'll have the Bluetooth controllers.
Yeah. And again, on a completely separate subject, on sites like Etsy and even like, you know, sites that specifically do hardware, custom hardware stuff, you can buy custom hardware for like most consoles.
Yeah.
And you can get like, you know, I keep on coming up with Ben Heck, but he does like kind of one of a kind things.
Yeah.
You know, you can get a Nintendo that looks like a toaster. You can pretty much do whatever you want, and like sites like that exist and they sell stuff, and it's like, you know, an actual product. And so
it's just like one step beyond making indie games for old consoles.
Yes,
isn't it?
Very much. It is. Custom hardware is something that actually, you know, it's very interesting, and you know, it's so great. I just kind of discovered the whole Etsy scene, where you can get like reproduction carts of like games that never were released in the US. And it's pretty amazing.
With like English translations and stuff. Yeah.
It's interesting you mentioned that though, Gaz, the Dreamcast Deluxe, because one of the things that will be potentially included with it is going to be the like an all-in-one DreamPi box. And we've actually got the guy who's invented the DreamPi, this Raspberry Pi thing that you can get online without a broadband adapter, Luke Benstead. He will be coming on the podcast in the next few weeks to talk about that. So,
can't wait.
I've obviously read it on the page or the site, and then I thought I might as well bring it up.
No worries, yeah, it's cool. It's not a secret or anything, you know, it's readily available. All the components are readily available, so.
I do like the concept of a fully pimped out drink glass like that. It does sound good.
There was the pictures on the Facebook, if anybody wants to go to the... Dreamcast Junkyard Facebook site, where somebody posted pictures of the guy in Japan that did like the pimped out Dreamcast.
Oh, the one that was that actually had PC built into it. It wasn't actually it was basically a mini PC in a Dreamcast shell.
Yeah,
and it had like a Blu-ray drive instead of the GD-ROM drive. Yeah,
guys, let's move on to the next subject, and this is something that's again quite interesting. In 2015, the Dreamcast had quite a lot of games released for it. For a system that's dead, in quotes. That is it's quite a feat, I think. So just to run through the list quickly, we had Pierre Solar, Fruity, or Fruit Y, I don't know how you pronounce it. we had Alanzar and Filia, Volgar the Viking, Ghostblade, Powder, Alice's Mum's Rescue, James and Watch Arm, and of course we also had Santa Claus Conquers the Martians on a DCVD, which was done by our very own Doc Eggfan, or Scott. So yeah, I just wanted to discuss these games and ask which was your favourite. Not which was the best, which was your favourite personally. Take it away, Aaron.
I must admit, I haven't actually got around to playing most of these yet. I've got Volgar the Viking on Steam, and I've yet to actually get around to burning the Dreamcast version, but I haven't really played it enough to really have a verdict on it. You know, like judge it.
You see the Dreamcast limited edition in GD-ROM cases and everything, yeah.
Yeah, I must admit, if they do manage to get like another print run of that going, I really want to get my hands on one of those, because the idea of having it all properly done with like a nice disc and a case and all that,
yeah.
You know, I'd much rather have that than just burn a copy,
yeah.
Which is weird, but like it makes it just feel a bit more like an actual game and not just like a disc I've burnt off.
Well, I've got a CDR with Volgar written on it, that's all I've got. But if I had the opportunity to buy a proper box copy out, then I would.
Yeah, because I remember they said they were doing them, you know, they weren't doing them at a profit and that, and they were just doing them for how much it cost to make them as well. So a bit like that Fruity game.
Oh, yeah, no, I did the whole case thing for my copy. On the little website that they had the case art that you can print
they did,
out and do all that. So I did that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I mean, out of them list of games, I've actually played Volgar the Viking because he released it on Xbox One.
They did, yeah.
As an indie game, so I've played it on that. And the other game I played, which is at Play Expo, was Ghostblade, which is that's a great little shooter, isn't it? So.
Yeah. What about you, Caleb? Have you got any preferences on this list? Anything that you've...
Man, it's tough because of the ones I've played, you know. I have to say they're so different, but I would have to say Pure Solar versus Volgar the Viking. It's just, I had so much fun with each of them for different reasons. Volgar the Viking, I played and died a million times.
Yeah, same.
Until I started like finding all the secret things and everything like that. And it's just, it was really interesting just to play an old school game like that and get the feeling of like just learning how to, the tricks of how to play it and whatnot. So yeah, but Pure Solar is such a, it's tough. Yeah, it's going to have to be a split vote between those two.
I played Pure Solar as well for a few hours, but yeah.
I was going to say, I've not played Pure Solar at all, but I mean, I can recognise that
it's... No, me neither. It's one of the games I would do want to get, yeah.
But out of that list, the ones that I've played personally, I'd say my favourite has got to be Ghostblade, to be honest, just because the only one that I've got that is in like a proper, you know, physical release box, whereas, you know, things like Alanzar and Filia, I know you can buy that now from Hucast, but they're not really my kind of game, you know what I mean? It's like a point-and-click type thing. So.
Has anybody played James & Watch?
Got it, yeah, yeah.
I mean, did you get the special edition version?
I literally just got the the standard version. It was off the guy who actually made it, Ben Lancaster, his name is.
I think the special version literally just has like a little thing that says special version.
I think you get a cup with it as well, something, or a mug or something.
Yeah. I think Doc Eggfan has it.
He does.
So again, it's so interesting that Volgar the Viking, which was like a recent game that was kind of like a big deal among current consoles, like that got released, that they were considering releasing it on the Dreamcast and like created like a fully working version of it.
Done it for the fun of it.
So it's just, it'd be really interesting to see if any of these indie releases that are, you know, releases that don't require that much, because it's so weird that like they had a fully functioning Dreamcast version. I'll be
kind of curious what they actually programmed that game in for it to be portable, you know, to be able to port it to the Dreamcast, because a lot of games are made in stuff like Unity and all that kind of stuff, even sprite-based games, and obviously that kind of stuff would not be possible on the Dreamcast because of, I don't know, it's just like completely different kind of code. So
I think a special mention should also go to Powder as well. I mean, I don't know if you guys have played this one. I
actually not heard of this one.
This one came out really early in the year. I remember a guy on the Facebook group, his name is Eric Frendo Cumbo. I think you may have seen him.
This one missed me somehow. I'm not sure how.
This guy Eric, he created a special version that you can boot from an SD card, and I downloaded that and used it with my SD reader. And it's basically like a really old school, like roguelike RPG where, I mean, I don't really particularly like RPGs, but I played this one for a couple of hours, you know, and I actually really enjoyed it. And I did a review of it on Dreamcast Junkyard. It's way back in like February or something, or January.
So go back and have a look at that, because I don't know how I forgot about that. But
kind of looks like a dungeon hack slash,
Like, and you've got, it's tile based, you know what I mean? So you move like up, down, left, right, you know, top down view. You've got the first room that you're in is just like a puzzle in itself because you don't actually know how to get out of the room. So you have to like try things against the walls, and then eventually you find a ladder and you climb out, and then you're in this castle type thing, and it's really cool, you know, and you've got different monsters and weapons and things you can pick up. And
roguelike, that's the proper name for stuff like this. Is roguelike.
So yeah, that was last year. Let's look forward to 2016. And again, there is another list of games. I find it phenomenal that in this day and age, like, there's still games coming out for the Dreamcast.
It feels like they're increasing as well, because you remember, like, back in, like, what was it, 2004, when the first like indie games started popping up, like Last Hope. And it was like 2 games a year. But now we're getting to this point where it's almost 10 games a year. And it's ridiculous. It's like it's getting, you know, more developers are jumping in. I think the only one that's exited is NG Dev Team.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, there seem to be more and more people coming in going, oh, you know, we can throw something, we can make something for this as well, you know. It's not just the same 2 developers anymore or publishers like it used to be.
It's interesting you mentioned this actually, Aaron, because I recently watched a video on YouTube by a friend of the Junkyard, Adam Korolik, who will be appearing on the podcast again in the near future.
Okay.
He did a video about this subject, about why there are so many new games coming for the Dreamcast. And I kind of agree with his theory, and that is that if you are a small developer and you're making a game for like Steam or whatever, and then you decide, oh, we're going to throw one out on the Dreamcast as well, because it's coming out for the Dreamcast, all the main sites will then focus on it and go, oh, they're putting a game out on the Dreamcast. Yeah. Oh, but it's also available on all these other systems. So it's kind of like advertising your game.
Obviously, it would just be a drop in the water on Steam, but if you mention it's coming out for Dreamcast, like, well, the website's like, oh my God, new Dreamcast game? What's going on?
So that's quite an interesting topic. I kind of agree.
Yeah, that's true.
But going back to the original point, all I was going to say is that we've got things like Slave, which I've pre-ordered. We've got Hypertension, Elysian Shadows. We've got Alice Dreams Tournament.
Yeah, I got that pre-ordered. Yeah, that was super inexpensive.
Yeah, it was.
I know exactly what that game is, and like, it's super inexpensive. Yeah. Like, I'm definitely going to get that, and that's definitely going to go in a video game tournament that I'm going to run.
When that game comes out, that is a shoe-in for like the next Play Expo Manchester. Definitely.
It's a party game, isn't it? And people love them.
It's so cool at Bomberman.
Bomberman.
Yeah.
It's kind of a pain to like set up the Saturn, you know, set up the Saturn with the multiplayer. But yeah, so it'll be nice to have a different game to try.
Yeah,
but
you can have 10 players with that.
You can, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's the best thing ever. I managed to get about, 7 people when we did the charity stream last year, and it was so good.
Yeah.
Looking further ahead, we've got things like Saber Rider and the Star Sheriffs, and Amoeba and Xenosider, which work is coming on. Special shout out as well to Carlos, who we had on a few episodes ago, who sent me a really, really nice retro Summers t-shirt. So thanks for that, Carlos. That was very much appreciated.
Yeah, Elysian Shadows is coming out. And I think Falco ought to do the right thing and put the Dreamcast Junkyard guys in as sprites.
Okay, it'd be nice. I wouldn't complain.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, there's a lot to look forward to in 2016 and beyond for the Dreamcast. It's an interesting time.
I mean, to be fair, some of these games probably will take a bit longer than this year to come out, especially stuff like Saber Rider, which we haven't really seen much of.
Yeah, that's I was going to bring that up. We haven't actually seen much gameplay, you know, concepts of that, unfortunately.
But I do reckon we'll get at least half of these games this year.
Oh, and then there's a guy who I met again at Play Manchester, a guy called Dave Webster, who's been creating his own bespoke 3D engine for the Dreamcast, and he's looking at bringing a game to the Dreamcast, which he described as being a mixture between Soulstar, do you remember that sort of into the screen shoot 'em up?
Yeah, I bought that at London Gaming Market.
So Soulstar and the first-person game. So you would fly into the screen in these like shoot 'em up sections, and then you would dock at a space station, and then you were in a first-person shooter. And he actually demonstrated both the engines at Play Expo last year.
It was on the Oculus Rift, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't on the Oculus. No, it was actually on the Dreamcast. He had it at our stand showing off on the big screen. Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah, so he's working on that.
Should have got some video of it if you were allowed.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's given me permission to like use the development version that he's got. I will be doing something with that in the near future, but I just wanted to get his like, you know, blessing before I actually show it. There's that as well. There's stuff coming from all angles, you know.
And here's really what I'm hoping for in 2016. I hope that we're going to get more games that are released just with a CD image that you can be able to download. And there's got to be a way to monetize that.
It must be, yeah. You know,
Volgar the Viking was like a big thing, but it was just free. It was just an afterthought for that company just to release it free online. So it would be interesting if somebody, indie developer, figure out a way to monetize just the distribution of the files online. Just so people could do it. That wouldn't stop piracy at all or anything, but it's just like...
Here's my prediction for 2016 that Sega releases Afterburner Climax as a download for the Dreamcast.
Please. I don't know how that would work, but...
You have to connect your... You got to connect your dial-up modem to your phone and then download it.
No, I mean how they could actually port that game to the Dreamcast. I would not mind that, even if they would obviously have to downscale it, but yeah. I would be fine with that, since it's one of the best games ever made. Yeah.
Guys, is there anything else anyone else wanted to talk about?
Can I just say, like, all this stuff that we've just been talking about, all these new games coming out, all the ones that came out last year, as well as, like, the DreamCon and all these little enhancements you could do to the Dreamcast, we don't need a Dreamcast 2, do we?
That's a pretty good point, to be honest.
No, and I'm pretty certain.
Why make a sequel to something that's not dead?
Haven't Sega recently said that they weren't even thinking about making anything like a Dreamcast 2 anyway, so... If it's coming, it's not going to be Sega doing it.
Let's not digress back into the whole Project Dream.
Yeah, so look forward to the future.
All I'm saying is, like, with all these things that they've been promising with that thing, it feels like most of that's kind of already happening. We're still getting more Dreamcast games.
Hold me back, Tom. Don't let me rant anymore.
All right, guys. If there's no other burning topics that anyone would like to discuss, then let's call it a day. It just remains for me to say thank you for joining me on this cold January evening. You can follow us all individually on Twitter and or Facebook. You can follow Aaron at
The Gaga Man or Lucky Hit Series.
You can follow Gaz at
Lost the Ruin.
And you can find Caleb on YouTube at...
I'm at BlandCo on YouTube. BlandCo, BlandCo. You can, we were talking about Dr. Eggfan releasing Santa Claus Conquers the Martians on Dreamcast. So I was considering what I was going to do with my the crappy DVDs that I made in college, and I actually ended up uploading one on YouTube. So yeah, if you have an entire hour that you want to waste watching just a completely crappily made DVD on skit comedy, that's uploaded now.
Maybe you could get Doc Eggfan to port that onto
Dreamcast. Yeah, maybe we could start our own video on charts of Dreamcast games.
Yeah, can I put there's my old animated short films on one.
the second DVD, I don't think I can upload that anywhere because it's basically loaded with content that's gonna get flagged immediately. It's just basically that was the one that I said nobody's ever gonna so I might as well just use all the skits and stuff that used copyright and music and whatnot. So I don't know, I might send him that, see if he can break it down.
Now you found fame, it's all coming back to haunt you.
Oh yeah, certainly.
The same way these indie games are gonna get attention for being on Dreamcast, maybe that's the way we can get videos on the, we start doing Dreamcast CDs, video CDs.
You know what we should really do, guys? And we should set up on Dreamcast video CD. We should do the Sega Junkyard date night, where we do the old VHS dating videos. And you can go on a virtual date with your choice of any one of the gentlemen from the Dreamcast Junkyard.
That is the stuff of nightmares, I believe.
Shh, my girlfriend's in the room.
Yeah. So look forward to that in 2016.
Look forward to that. You can follow me on Twitter at Tom Lee C, or you can follow us as a collective at Sega Junkyard. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheDreamcastJunkyard. And we've also got a group as well, which is a hotbed of discussion, all things Dreamcast. Yeah, we also have the main site, which is www.TheDreamcastJunkyard.co.uk. And on that point, I just want to remind you listeners that in the UK, we have this thing called the UK Blog Awards. It's quite a big deal. And the Dreamcast Junkyard, because it is technically a blog, because it's hosted on Blogger, we are eligible for the UK Blog Awards, and we're actually nominees for it. So if you'd like to nominate the site for an award in the UK Blog Awards, then keep an eye out on the site. You won't be able to miss it because I'm going to plaster it with it. So, if we were to be nominated...
Much like the podcast awards, we will.
Yeah, we'd like to be. We'd like to represent the Dreamcast community at a really good, you know, well publicised event. Be the conduit for the community. So yeah, you'll see those adverts popping up on the Dreamcast Junkyard.
Yeah, honestly, in all seriousness, I did a post on that where I used a light gun on a Sega Game Gear screen. So you know, I think that sort of hard hitting journalism really just.
I totally agree. If not a Pulitzer, so.
Get an Oscar just because.
Thank you to you, the listener, for tuning in and downloading the podcast. And yeah, we'll see you on the next one, hopefully. Thanks for listening and goodbye.
Bye.
See ya.
Please stop this disc now.